Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
The thought comes across my mind regularly, how thankful I am for my wife. And you know something? I'm quite sure that the thought comes across your mind about the same thing if you're a man married and have been happily married for some period of time. You know what? We ought to thank God for our wives. If you have a prudent wife, you know why you ought to thank God for her? You ought to thank God for her because, according to Proverbs 19:14, she came from the Lord. Proverbs 19:14 says, "House and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord." Now, sometimes when you marry, the thing that brings you together with your wife may not be prudence, okay? So often with young marriages, there's the physical attraction and there's the personality attraction and all those other kind of things. You really, you know, in the short period of time that you know each other before you marry, you don't really know the depth of the person that you're marrying. And when you marry, getting to know each other can sometimes be a little bit rough. And so you may say to yourself, well, my wife wasn't a perfect fit for me when we first married. Or you might say, I wasn't a perfect fit for my wife when we first married. But you know, over time, the Lord has tempered you and molded her, or the Lord has molded you and tempered her, and now you find that you're a perfect match. She really is a help meet for you. And you realize that God did that. In other words, it wasn't like there was one woman in the entire universe for you and you found that woman, and therefore you can thank God because you found that woman. It's that God got into your relationship, got into your life, got into her life, and molded her into the type of woman that God wanted her to be, and therefore a prudent wife is from the Lord. And God molded you to realize the value of the person that you married, which is a tremendous thing. In other words, over time, God makes the people in the marriage better and makes the marriage better. You see, God does that, and you ought to thank Him every day for your wife, and you ought to let her know how much you appreciate her and how much you love her. We ought to thank God for our wives who, first of all, are prudent. In Proverbs 19:14, when the Bible says, "And a prudent wife is from the Lord," do you know what the word prudent means? Prudent means capable of exercising sound judgment in practical matters, cautious, discreet in conduct, circumspect, not rash. It is wonderful to have a level-headed bride, a person that you can trust, because she's making decisions all the time in practical matters. Your wife will make more decisions concerning the children on a day-to-day basis throughout the day than you will. You may make decisions regarding, you know, eventually where they go to college or something like that, some of the larger decisions, but on a day-to-day basis in practical matters, your wife is making a tremendous amount of decisions for the household. She's buying food, and she's taking care of children, and she's keeping the house, and there are all kinds of decisions that need to be made. And when you have a prudent wife, the Bible says you got her from the Lord. He did that, which is a tremendous thing. So the first thing you want to do is you want to ask yourself the question, do I have a prudent wife? And be careful, because she may be prudent, but you may not have seen manifested in her maturity all of her prudence. You may be looking for other expectations in the marriage besides prudence and miss the fact that you have a prudent wife because you're frustrated about some other area. So be careful when you consider your wife and realize that the person you married may have beautiful characteristics that you are not aware of or not paying attention to because you are focusing on one thing. I'll give you an idea. When a young lady who's very careful about her appearance, for instance, gets a pimple, and I know this is disgusting, but it really does put the whole thing that I'm trying to say in perspective. She gets a pimple. Do you know something? At that moment that pimple arises and becomes the focal point of her attention on her face, she forgets about all of the other beautiful characteristics that she has. She is worried about that pimple. When a husband marries a woman and he finds something that about her that he doesn't like, many times what will happen is you will put so much attention on that one thing that you're missing all these other great characteristics. And prudence is not one of the things you would expect to be first on the list. But when you're reading about these characteristics of a great wife, the Bible says, I want you to know, a prudent wife, he didn't say the most gorgeous woman, he said a prudent wife is from the Lord. That's what he's giving you. And you want to look at your wife from the perspective of God Almighty and realize if God has given you a prudent wife, which he may very well have done, or he's building in your relationship a prudent wife, you ought to thank God for that. Because you want to be able to trust your wife to make good, sound decisions in practical matters, to be cautious and circumspect and not rash. So we ought to thank God for our wives who are prudent. There's a lot to do in managing a household. I'll ask people sometimes, I used to say, I don't say it anymore, does your mother work or does your wife work? And a lot of times they'll say, no, she's a homemaker. I don't say it that way anymore because being a homemaker takes a tremendous amount of work. It really does. And for wives who actually have a job and have to be a homemaker, man, oh man, you talk about one loaded plate. Don't make it heavier. All right, we ought to thank God not only for our wives who are prudent, but we ought to thank God for our wives who are good, just plain good. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22, whoso findeth a wife findeth, what? A good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. So you see that also, in addition to the prudence that God gives you, when he gives you a good wife, you ought to thank God for her because through her you obtain favor of the Lord. And not every man has a good wife. And you can read through the Bible, and there are some bad wives that are described in the Bible. Jezebel was not a good wife, as an example. And there are many, many others that you can look for in there that, you know, kind of describe some weaknesses and things like that. So consider your wife. Is she good? I mean, is she just plain good? Is she a good person? Because if you have a good wife, you ought to praise the Lord. You see, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. It's so strange to me in this world. But in this world, there's so much emphasis placed on the body. There's so much emphasis placed on the physical relationship of the marriage that what happens is that if anything with the body changes, and it's going to, and anything with the physical pleasure of the marriage changes, and it's going to, then you know what? Men, provoked by their own lust of the flesh and by all of this stuff that you see in movies, on the internet, and everything else, start finding themselves where they're no longer content. They're no longer content with the woman they have. And so what happens is they start thinking about other women. And you know what happens when men start thinking about other women? Over a period of time, what begins to happen is they start looking. They go from thinking about it to looking, and then the next thing they do, they find less and less contentment with their own wife and with their own home and with their own conditions, and thinking that if they could have a different woman, they would be happier. And so they start looking, thinking and looking. Well, you know where this is leading, right? Next thing you know, they start flirting, and the next thing you know, they change wives. And boy, that can be a very, very vicious, vicious problem. Why? Because you have just overlooked a very good person that God had already given you. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Let me tell you something. If you've got a good woman, you ought to thank God for her, and you really ought to concern yourself with her goodness and the goodness which is the fruit of the Spirit in her that God has put in her, because you'll obtain favor of the Lord, and as you've gained favor with the Lord, her goodness is going to increase through the fruit of the Spirit, and those great characteristics in her that you are going to love to appreciate all through your marriage, particularly in the latter part of your marriage, are going to sustain you with a great deal of happiness. Tell her you thank her for her goodness. We ought to thank God for our wives who are good, prudent, good wives. And then I'll show you another one. Look in Proverbs chapter 14. We ought to thank God for our wives who are wise. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 1 says, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. There are women who have destroyed their homes. There are women who have destroyed their marriages. And, of course, they don't want to take responsibility for that. But the way they did it, the way that they caused the problem and tore up the home is they were foolish. They were foolish. But the Bible says a wise woman will build her house. Every wise woman buildeth her house. That is, the way she takes care of the physical home itself, the building by upkeep, keepers at home, the Bible says. She's going to keep the property well maintained in all the areas where she can. She's going to keep it clean and presentable. A place where a husband is glad to come home because his house is in order. You know, a wise woman is going to build her house by building what's inside of it. She's going to work hard at building her relationship with her husband. She's going to work hard at building her relationship with her children. She is going to be concerned about her children's education. Some children will be in public school, but when they get home, mom is going to see to it, not that they make good grades on their tests by doing the work for them, but she's going to sit down with them, and if they've been given some instruction that was not consistent with the Bible, something that was contrary to the Bible, she's going to take the Bible and show them the error of what they've learned in a science class or in a history class. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 27, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. And sometimes children hear things that are not right. Even in a Christian school, they can. And so mom's going to be there to build up, to edify, to strengthen her children by making sure that what they've been learning in school is consistent with the Bible and filling in all the gaps. A wise woman buildeth her house. She's going to strengthen her marriage. She's going to strengthen her children. She's going to strengthen the maintenance of the property. She's going to do well with that. And if God has given you a wise woman, you ought to thank God for your wife. Listen, you know, women don't always make the best decisions about things, but Sarah was very wise when she told Abraham that it was time for Hagar and Ishmael to leave when Ishmael started mocking Isaac. And Abraham was frustrated about that because he loved Ishmael, and he was his firstborn. And God said, you know what? You need to listen to Sarah because what she's telling you is right. And Abraham listened to Sarah, listened to God, and he did that. Let me tell you something. The person in this world that knows you better than anybody else after you've been married for a while is your wife. And it is a strange thing, but for some reason men don't like to sit down with their wives and discuss matters where their wives can tell them things by way of counsel that may be good for them. But you know, there are certain instances, more than you think, where being able to talk over a matter with your wife and mull it over and consider it and consider what she has to say will really help you in making decisions in your life. It's an amazing thing, truly. It is an amazing thing how much the woman God gave you really knows and how much you should consider the counsel that she can give. Now listen, ultimately, listen, as a husband, you are the one charged with the responsibility of making those decisions. But that doesn't mean that you can't sit down and listen to what she has to say. Now, if the counsel that she's giving is contrary to the Word of God, if it's something that's contrary to good judgment for the household, if it's something that doesn't make sense, if it's something that shouldn't be done, then all you have to do is say, you know, I really appreciate that, but I don't think we're going to go that way. I believe this is the way we need to go. And then you go that way. And when the counsel is wise, you can say, you know what, I really appreciate that. I had not considered that angle, and you've really helped me see the other side of this thing. And then you make the decision with the benefit of the counsel that you have received, and I'm going to guarantee you, you're going to make better decisions. Over time, when you can talk them over with the person who loves you, when God's given you a prudent and a good wife who is wise, why wouldn't you want to talk over matters concerning the family with her to get her point of view? I'm telling you, there are many things that she can contribute to those decisions that are going to be very, very helpful. And if you've got a wife like that, praise God, thank God. All right, so we ought to thank God for our wives who are prudent, who are good, who are wise. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, and look at verse 22. And here's another one. We ought to thank God for our wives who are submissive. Now, gentlemen, let me tell you something. You're not the one that is to be in submission to your wife. She is to be in submission to you, and that thing results from way back there in Genesis chapter 3, where men were given the responsibility of ruling their homes and ruling their wives. I tell you what, I would not want to trade with a woman. There's no way. I wouldn't want to be in that role. Now listen, the Bible says in verse 22 of Ephesians chapter 5, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." Do you realize that she is to be in submission to the Lord, and then she is to also be in submission to you? And then it says in verse 23, Ephesians 5:23, "The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything." Let me tell you something. If you have a submissive wife, you ought to thank God. Because I said in a point before, if you have a wise wife, it's good to sit down with counsel or together and talk over matters. But let me tell you something. If she's not submissive, you're going to have a very difficult time. She may be wise, but if she's not submissive, she's going to push to get her own way. And you're going to have a very, very difficult life. It's going to be hard on you, because as a man, you're going to want to be chivalrous. You're going to want to try to defer to her when she's adamant about a certain thing. And if she's wrong and you defer to her, it's going to be just like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Eve was wrong and Adam deferred to her. That Bible says that Eve gave to her husband with her and he did eat. Which sounds like he's there with her when all this temptation is going on, and he let the thing continue. Now listen, if you have a submissive wife, I mean even most of the time, that you ought to thank God, thank God, thank God. I'm telling you, in this day and age of Equal Rights Amendment and National Organization of Women and all this other kind of stuff that's been going on, it gets harder and harder for women. Because they hear so much against being submissive, and it's harder and harder on men, because there are a lot of women who have been trained in this society not to be submissive. But if God's given you one, let me tell you something, there's going to be a joy in your relationship with your spouse that you ought to just thank God for every day. You see, the husband's greatest need in a marriage is to rule. That's his greatest need. The Bible even tells us in Genesis chapter 3, that's what he's supposed to do. And so since the husband's greatest need is to rule, therefore his wife's greatest responsibility is to submit. Now to counterbalance that, the wife's greatest need is to be loved. Therefore her husband's greatest responsibility is to love her as Christ loved the church. Now if she's not in submission, it's going to be hard for you to love her as Christ loved the church. If you don't love her as Christ loved the church, it's going to be hard for her to submit. So both of those things are important concerning this point. But let me tell you something. Even when you are disobedient to the Word of God, she is to be in subjection to you. And I'm telling you, none of us, gentlemen, none of us is perfect. We all make mistakes. We all make bonehead decisions. If you've got a wife that has gone along with you on those things, my friend, you ought to absolutely shout glory to God for her. 1 Peter chapter 3 gives her specific instructions from verses 1 through 6 on how to be in subjection to her husband. And her subjection is an indication that she trusts in God, according to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. You see, she can be in subjection to you when you're in disobedience to the Word of God because she's trusting the Lord. And when she trusts the Lord, your head, Jesus Christ, will then bring you back into line because she's trusting God to lead the family. In other words, she trusts God so much that she doesn't take matters into her own hands and demand her own ways. It's not her responsibility to make the call. It's not her responsibility to lead the family. Because she can get into sin there. The devil can capitalize on that. According to 1 Peter chapter 2, she usurps authority from the man, and bam, boy, the devil shows up, and bang, down things go. And if your wife doesn't do that, woo, my friend, you ought to thank God that he's given you a submissive wife. Turn to Proverbs chapter 31. You said, ooh, I knew we were going to go there. Well, we're not going to cover all of Proverbs chapter 31. We're going to cover two parts, and both of them are very, very good and very, very valid. You ought to thank God if you've got a God-fearing wife. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 30 says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Now, you know what? The fear of the Lord will keep her in His will. And when she is in God's will, it won't be like dragging an anchor when you're trying to go where God wants your family to go. I still remember back in the days when God called me into the ministry and I had to leave the banking business and then go off to Bible college. That was a very, very difficult time for my wife. She was pregnant with our fourth child. We had to sell a house. We had to buy a house 12 hours away. And she was 2 months away from having our fourth child. I mean, it was a tremendously difficult time. And I was just, woohoo, we got to go. Come on, what do you do? Pack them up. Let's get out of here. And man, all the emotion you can imagine of uprooting and moving was very, very difficult. But my wife, if she were talking today, would tell you that the number one reason that she followed me, the number one reason that she did all of what we had to do in order to quickly button up one place and move to the next is this. She says, I feared God. I feared God. And you know something? She had to continue to do that all through Bible college. It was a very, very difficult time for us. I was gone all day working, a lot part of the night in school, and then other parts of the time studying. Very, very difficult time. She had to manage the household. She had to manage with the children, nursing and raising this little girl, our fourth child. Man, I'm telling you, it was tough. And she kept it all together. She kept it all together. And the number one reason is that she feared God. She feared God. And you know something? A couple of years after we graduated from Bible college, we had gone to a meeting where I preached, and the pastor took us snow skiing afterwards for a couple of days, and we were coming down a gondola, beautiful, beautiful, just pastoral setting. It was wonderful. And I put my arm around her and I looked at her and smiled. I said, sweetheart, you're getting dividends now. You know, you're getting some payback now for all that you had to go through in order to do that. Let me tell you something. You have a wife that fears God and goes along with you like that. You ought to thank God for your wife. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10 also talks about a virtuous woman. And there are many, many things you need to read these characteristics of a virtuous woman. But the Bible says her price is far above rubies. And her husband safely trusteth in her. Oh, that's wonderful. I'm telling you. Listen, if you have a virtuous wife, you know, there may be some things about her. I realize that she's not perfect, okay? But listen, there may be some things about her that you could criticize. Men have a tendency to be that way. But I'm going to tell you, if she's virtuous, if she fits any little bit of this characteristic that's in Proverbs chapter 31, and you trust her, and she can do some of these things here, she's willing to rise up early and get breakfast going, stay up late, make sure that the meals are ready for the next day, I am telling you, and all these other things, you ought to thank God that he has given you a virtuous woman. Why? Her price is far above rubies. You couldn't afford her. You could not afford her. I'm going to give you one more. I know I've spent plenty of time on each of these points and hate to rush through any of them. But Titus chapter 2, verse 4, you ought to thank God for a loving wife. Titus chapter 2, verse 4, elder women are to teach young women how to, in verse 4, love their husbands, to love their children. To love their husbands, to love their children. If you have a wife that loves you, and if you have a wife that loves your children, you ought to get on your knees every night and thank God for her, and you ought to get on your knees every morning and thank God for her. Because it's getting harder and harder to find people who truly love their husbands, and then these days it's harder and harder to find women who really love their children. The women love pleasures, and they're loving careers, and they're loving a lot of other things. They're loving themselves, and they're loving a lot of other things besides their children, and they're letting their children be raised by video games and others in a daycare center and others in a school, and they're not paying attention to them. And if your wife loves your children, if your wife loves you, my friend, you need to thank God for her, and you need to let her know how much you appreciate her and how much you love her. Let's review quickly these things about which we've talked today. We ought to thank God for our wives who are prudent, because a prudent wife is from the Lord. She exercises sound judgment on behalf of your household, and on your behalf, you ought to thank God for her and thank her. We ought to thank God for wives who are good, because a man who findeth a wife findeth a good thing. We ought to thank God for wise women who build their homes, not pluck them down. We ought to thank God for our wives who are submissive. Would you want to be in her role and have somebody rule over your head all the time? I don't think so. And if she's willing to go along with you in the decisions God leads you, and she's willing to go along with you in the decisions when God hasn't let you and you're in error, but I'm going to tell you something, thank God for her. You ought to thank God for a God-fearing woman, because the fear of the Lord will keep her in His will and make you a lot easier to be her head. You ought to thank God for a virtuous woman, because you can go to sleep at night and completely trust her that everything in your marriage is safe. And you ought to thank God for a wife who is loving. Can you imagine loving somebody like you? Can you imagine somebody loving like a person like me? I can't. And when you find somebody who does, you ought to thank her and thank God, because God has done a marvelous thing for you in giving you a person like that. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.